tatagpuan po ang passage na ito sa ating mga bulletin sa page 10, or you can read along the screen. Lahat po ng mga naka-underline na talata ay babasahin ng congregation. And pagkatapos po natin basahin ang salita ng Diyos, ang inyo pong tugon ay salamat sa Diyos. Haggai 2:1-9. Noong ikadalawamput isa ng ikapitong buwan ng taon ding iyon, muling nagsalita si Yahweh sa pamamagitan ni Propeta Haggai. Sino sa inyo ang nakakaalala sa maringal na kaningningan ng naunang templo? Maihahambing ba ninyo ang kagandahang noon sa itsura ng templong ito ngayon? Wala itong sinabi sa naunang templo. Nang palayain ko kayo sa Ehipto, aking ipinangakong palagi ko kayong papatnubayan. Hanggang ngayon nga'y kasama niyo ako, kaya't wala kayong dapat ikatakot. Yayanigin ko ang mga bansa at dadalhin ko dito ang kanilang mga kayamanan. Ang templong ito ay mapupuno ng kanilang mga kayamanan. Dahil dito, ang bagong templo ay magiging higit na maganda kaysa doon sa nauna. At sa bagong templong ito ay mahahayag ang kasaganaan at katiwasayang pinagkalob ko sa aking sambayanan. Ganito ang sabi ng Yahweh na makapangyarihan sa lahat. Mga kapatid, ito ang salita ng Diyos.
Salamat sa
Diyos. Please be seated.
Thank you. Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Malakas po yung microphone. Alright, and welcome po sa mga guests namin sa gabi pong ito. Ako po si Aaron, I serve as one of the pastoral assistants ng church na ito. Tayo po ngayon ay nasa ikalawang week sa ating pag-aaral sa book ng Haggai. But before we continue, nais ko lang pong i-echo yung mga binanggit ni Brother Mike kanina. Bukas po, singles, meron po tayong, kasi kasama ako doon, literal. Meron po tayong fellowship tomorrow at 10:30 sa Rove sa may City Center. And Friday next week at 10 a.m. ay meron pong teacher training, yung pong mga kids ministry volunteers po natin. Same venue, ito po ay sa Rove City Center. And then, if you haven't got this, available na po yung ating sermon cards. Kung wala po kayong nakuha, ito po ay nasa connections table sa likod. Tama po ako, di ba? Nasa connections table. Naibenta na po nila sa ibang church. Hindi. Nandun lang po. Kung wala pa po kayong nakuha, you can approach them and kumuha po kayo ng inyong copy. This will serve yung ating pong calendar sa ating sermon series for the second quarter ng 2023. Last Friday, ay binuksan po natin yung ating series sa book ng Haggai, which we have entitled Prioritizing God's Greater Glory. Natutunan po natin that this prophecy was addressed to the post-exilic people of Israel, yung pong mga tao who have returned from the Babylonian captivity. And ito pong mensahe ay deliver ni Haggai, to which we don't know so much about him, except for the fact na siya po ay isa sa mga tao who have returned with Zerubbabel coming from the exile, and all throughout sa kanya pong sulat, he was called the prophet. So chapter 1 po, last week, we learned that there had been a delay, meron pong pagkaudlot dun po sa part ng mga tao in terms of constructing yung pong temple. So God gives His message to the people through Haggai and tells them to consider their ways. And see yung kanila pong sitwasyon and know that what is happening sa kanila pong mga buhay is under the sovereign will ng Panginoon. And so God instructs them to rebuild yung pong temple. And thankfully, God stirred up the spirit of the people. Sabi po sa passage. They have considered their ways, and after 23 days, they have rebuilt the temple of the Lord. Ngayon, dito po sa second chapter, chapter 2, verses 1-9, we have another prophecy from Haggai, well, from the Lord through Haggai, na kung saan yung pong mga tao and their leaders are told to follow the Lord courageously because His power will ensure yung kanila pong protection and success. As we look at our passage, let me open us in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty Father, as we come to your word tonight, may you grant us wisdom and understanding through the Holy Spirit, that He may point us to the glories of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Kung kayo po ay nagsusulat, ito po ang ating main point sa gabing ito. Take courage and do not fear, for God is faithful in keeping His promises for His glory. Take courage and do not fear, for God is faithful in keeping His promises for His glory. Three things. Number one, from verses 1 hanggang 3, God asks three questions to address the problem. Second, verses 4 and 5, God gives three commands in response to the problem. And lastly, point number 3, God makes three promises to eliminate the problem. Verses 6 hanggang 9. God asks three questions. God gives three commands, and God makes three promises. Point number 1, God asks three questions to address yung pong kanilang problema in verses 1 to 3. Let me read. Verse 1, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Katulad po ng mga ibang oracles dito po sa aklat ni Haggai, this section begins with a date formula. Sabi po dyan, the 21st day of the 7th month. Doon po sa binasa ni Ami kanina, sinabi doon sa Tagalog, it's on the same year. Pero dito po sa ating salin in the English Standard Version, hindi po binanggit explicitly yung pong year. But presumably, it's also a reference to the second year of King Darius na kung saan po nagtapos yung chapter 1. So somehow, it serves double duty and the closing ng chapter 1 and the opening ng chapter 2. In any event, it is clear that we are still in the same year as the events nung po nasa chapter 1. Some 6 weeks after yung pong initial oracle or around 4 weeks after the beginning ng kanila pong rebuilding work. Ito pong date na binigay dito sa second prophecy, sa second oracle, ay napakahalaga po. Ito pong 21st day of the 7th month ay malapit na po dun sa pagtatapos ng Feast of Tabernacles. If we are going to translate this sa ating pong calendar, this is around October 17, 520 BC. Ito pong Feast of Tabernacles, or otherwise also known as Feast of Booths, ito po ay yung pinakahuli and perhaps yung pong greatest dun po sa three annual feasts ng mga Hudyo, which they have yung pong Passover, yung Pentecost, and then yung pong Tabernacles, or yung Feast of Booths. Of course, marami pa po silang ibang feast. Total, I think there are 7. But ito pong tatlo na ito yung pong kanilang regularly, well, lahat ay regularly ino-observe, but these 3 are the greatest of these feasts. Ito pong event na ito, yung pong pagtatapos ng Feast of Tabernacles, would have been an occasion for a major congregational gathering. All the people perhaps of Israel would gather together na kung saan, hindi lang po sila, but even Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, would also be there present sa kanila pong gathering. Ito pong religious convocation na ito provided yung pong ating prophet na si Haggai with a platform na kung saan he would be able to address both the leaders of Israel and the people at large. Ito pong Feast of Tabernacles was a particularly appropriate setting para po sa kanyang mensahe. It served as a time for remembering yung pong mga kamanghamanghang bagay na ginawa ng Diyos in the past And also an important aspect of the celebration, part po ng kanilang pagdiriwang ng Feast of Booths, is yung pong katotohanan, the fact that the people, sila po ay required to live outside ng kanila pong tahanan, to live in shelters, in booths, for 7 days. Ito po ay gagawin nila bilang recollection or as a remembrance ng kanila pong wilderness wanderings before they entered yung pong promised land. If you want to know more about that, you can turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. Simulan po ninyo sa 33, pero hindi na po natin babasahin. Ito pong mga shelters na ito, ito pong mga booths na ito, were made from interwoven branches ng mga puno. And it appears na habang ginagawa po nila itong pong festival na ito, 3 branches and fruits were carried in joyful procession. It would also have been natural occasion na ito pong celebration nila ng Feast of Booths, all peoples gathered together, Haggai gives his message, and it was also a natural occasion for their remembrance na yung pong dedication ng first temple, yung temple na nilikha ni Solomon bago sinira ng mga Babylonians, also happened, took place during the same feast, Feast of the Tabernacles. So they all have that recollection of these things. It's Feast of Booths. Inaalala natin yung ating wilderness wanderings. It's also the same time na kung saan we dedicated yung temple back in Solomon's time. And here we are, Israel. Here we are, Judah. We started rebuilding yung temple. So ito pong celebration ng Feast of Tabernacles, kasama po yung wilderness overtones nito, would have been particularly touching and meaningful para po dito sa remnant of the people. Para po sa mga tao who were left. Because ito pong mga taong to, some of them taking part dito po sa feast na ito, had themselves experienced a kind of second exodus sa kanila pong pagbabalik from Babylon. Diba? They were captive in Babylon and they returned. As they do the Feast of Booths, they remembered their ancestors back in Egypt who were also did an exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land. So ito pong mga tao na to who returned saw themselves as a community who recreated yung pong panahon ni Joshua. Hindi po si Joshua na high priest na binabanggit sa passage, but si Joshua yung pong successor ni Moses. For them, ito pong experience of dwelling bilang strangers and aliens in an unwelcoming world and being granted fresh start in the land promised to Abraham ay hindi lang po isang bagay that they recall in the pages ng kanila pong history, but it is fresh in their minds. Because they just came from exile. And this is what the Lord says. Verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, ito po yung tanong ng Panginoon, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yung problema po ng mga tao rito is that they are facing discouragement among all things, among many things. Perhaps meron pong mga tao dito who came back from the exile, who are aged 70 and above, and they could remember yung pong itsura nung temple ni Solomon bago po ito nasira 66 years before. Now that there are only few weeks into the rebuilding effort, it has become clear sa kanila na yung pong templo that they are trying to rebuild is going to be far more inferior than the temple they once knew. Perhaps they were just laying yung foundation sa lupa and they see, hindi ganyan yun eh. And so as they look back, dun po sa dedication nung first temple, yung pong mga may edad na na nakabalik from exile, from the time ni Solomon, and into their entry into the land under Joshua, they could hardly fail to be aware dun po sa differences nung temple noon at dun po sa temple na kanilang nire-rebuild ngayon. Listen to how the book of Ezra puts it. Ezra chapter 3, verses 12 hanggang 13. Ito po yung kanilang reaction. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet, many shouted aloud for joy so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with loud shout and the sound was heard afar off. Na-imagine po ninyo yun? Yung pong mga matatanda who have seen the first temple, they were weeping because nakita nila yung difference ng kanilang ginagawa compared dun sa temple that they have seen before. And ito pong mga kabataan who did not see yung pong first temple, they were rejoicing because the temple is being rebuilt. And yet yung kanila pong noise of weeping and joy is hardly to be distinguished. Ito pong present reality seemed depressingly ordinary, hardly able to match up dun po sa celebrated mighty acts ng Diyos in the past. Where was the former glory? Ito pong new temple seemed to be an empty symbol, lacking splendor of the former days. Perhaps yung kanya pong physical dimensions were approximately the same as those of the former temple, pero ito pong temple na kanila pong ginagawa is no longer central symbol of the kingdom or even of the empire. Maalala po ninyo, when Solomon rebuilt or built yung pong temple, yung pong fame ni Solomon spread all over. And the Queen of Sheba came up to Solomon when she learned about the wisdom of Solomon. Ganun po ka central yung pong Israel nung panahon na yon. And yet here, nothing compares. Now it's a small part in the plan of someone else's empire. Apparently, yung ginagawa po nilang temple is irrelevant dun po sa flow ng events ng mundo. Pero ito pong glory that was missing from the temple ay hindi lamang po external nor financial. Those who heard yung pong mga sinabi ni Haggai could hardly have failed to see yung pong reference sa vision ni Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 10 na kung saan Ezekiel says na yung pong glory ng sovereign Lord departed from the temple bago po ito na-destroy ng Babylonians. You can see that sa Ezekiel chapter 10. And during the exile, they had experienced profoundly yung pong katotohanan or yung pong real absence ng Diyos in their midst. Remember, the temple is the symbol of God's presence in His people. Tama po ba? And so when the Spirit or when the presence of God left the temple, the glory of God left the temple and they were brought into captivity, into exile, they have experienced yung pong reality ng absence ng presence ng Diyos sa kanila. And all that had been caused by the sin of God's people. It was all very well to rebuild yung pong structure ng temple, but without the return of God's presence, it would remain to be worthless and an empty shell. Although they had been restored, what they were restored to was not the same as what they had lost. But from this, we would learn that God is merciful to forgive and restore those who have sinned against Him. Yung pong exile teaches us that God is just. And yung pong kanilang pagbalik teaches us that God is merciful. God's discipline towards believers is always the purpose of ultimate restoration. Dito po sa passage natin, though we also see that what He restores us to may not be exactly the same as what we had before we sin, while they were grateful para po dun sa goodness ng Diyos, they also remembered kung ano po yung nawala sa kanila. The new temple was not the same as the one before. Jerusalem was not the same. And many of the people were forced to leave and could never come back. Para sa atin po ngayon, this passage is at the same time both a warning and a comfort. Yung pong warning is that sin is costly. Sin could cost your marriage, your relationships, your job, your reputation, and so much more. Sin, disobedience to God, is actually a rejection of God Himself and His authority over our lives. But I want you to remember that God has dealt with our sin problem. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who told yung pong mga tao that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And this Jesus died on the cross. The awful weight of all our sins fell on His shoulders. And yung pong sentence of death that God had pronounced against us, rebellious sinners, struck Him. And Jesus died for you and for me. But ito pong kwento doesn't end there. Jesus, the crucified, is no longer dead. The Bible tells us that He rose from the grave. Jesus, yung kanya pong pag-rise from the grave was God's way of saying what Jesus claimed about who He is and what He came to do is true. Here we see that at the same time, God is good and His steadfast love endures forever. If today, mga kapatid, you feel like you are far from God, know that He is gracious, kind, and merciful. And what does He expect us to do with that information that Christ died in our place so we can be saved from God's righteous wrath against our sins? Well, He expects us to respond with faith and repentance. Know that you can come to Him and you can call on Him. As Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If this is you who is tired and restless, know that in Christ, you will find your rest. Point number two, three commands in response dun po sa kanilang problem. Verses 4 and 5. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. "Work, for I am with you," declares the Lord of hosts, "according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not." yung pong response ng Diyos doon po sa kanilang discouragement is not to challenge yung pong reality ng kanilang problem. Hindi po siya nag-disagree doon sa kanilang assessment na ganun kasadlak yung ginagawa nilang temple. He doesn't disagree with their assessment that the present state of affairs is as nothing in your eyes, katulad po ng sinabi sa verse 3. However, he proceeds to encourage yung pong rebuilding ng temple by underlining what this generation has in common with the past. Una, sinabi po niya that there is a common command to the leaders and to all the people to be strong. Ito pong command na ito, to be strong, echoes the similar commands issued by David to his son Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, to Joshua and all the Israelites in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 7. He tells them to be strong. And also, no matter kung ano man po yung obstacle na kanila pong kinakaharap, the obligation on God's people is clear. He tells them to work. They are to do what they can in obedience to God's command and not to press their hand over what they cannot do. But even more encouragingly, meron pong promise for this generation that underlines yung kanila pong link with the past. They are to be strong and work, hindi lamang po dahil sinabi ng Diyos, but that is one reason, but also because God has committed Himself to be with them. They are to trust that as they do what they can do, God will do what He has committed Himself to do. Yung pangako po ng Diyos that I am with you, nakita na natin to last week, hindi po ba? In chapter 1, verse 13. But even there, it was not a new promise. Yung pong ugat nito lies deep in the soil of Israel's history. Indeed, yung pong presence ng Diyos in the midst of His covenant people was essentially yung pong heart ng covenant relationship that has been established with the Israelites dun po sa Mount Sinai in the time of Moses. The Lord would be their God and they would be His people. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation, sabi sa Exodus 19. Moses went so far as to declare that if God were not to be present with them, then nothing significant would mark Israel out from the other nations of the world. Napakahalaga po ng presence ng Lord sa kanila. And so this lasting relationship ay sinelyuhan po in the physical sign nung pong tabernacle. Ito po yung kanilang movable tent that symbolizes or wherein the presence of God dwells in the midst of the mobile camp ng Israel. When they were moving, meron po silang tabernacle. There, the glory that had appeared to Moses and the elders on Mount Sinai appeared to the people. And in the book of Chronicles, ito pong visible presence ng glory ng Diyos in the midst of His people was also associated from the tabernacle. It came dun po sa temple that they have built. Yung ginawa po ni Solomon. And so in the context of this history, God's promise to do what He had covenanted when dinala po niya yung mga Israelites out of Egypt is a commitment for His presence to be in the midst of His people once again in a lasting way. In other words, ang sinabi po niya is that My Spirit will abide in your midst. Not even yung pong history of sin ng Israel could ultimately destroy yung pong covenant commitment ng Diyos sa Israel. The rebuilt temple will not be a hollow shell or an empty icon, but would in the future symbolize again the reality of God's lasting presence. His presence with His people is a blessing for them. Indeed, it is the presence of God's Spirit that provides the assurance
of ultimate success para po sa kanilang mga labors. As Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 puts it, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And so with the promise of God's spirit, there is no need for them to fear that their labor will be in vain. Third and last, God makes three promises to eliminate yung pong problem. Verses 6 hanggang 9. Let me read verse 6. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Yung pong sagot ng Diyos dun po sa discouragement ng mga tao with the present is not merely to point yung kanila pong mga mata back into the past, but He also gives them or invites them to look forward to the future. This again fits naturally dun po sa context kung kailan po ito binigay during the Feast of Tabernacles. Naalala po natin, this festival ay hindi po invented when, let me backtrack. Ito pong festival or Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was not invented for the wilderness period. Hindi po ito sinabi sa kanila na gawin nila when they were out in the wilderness. Why? Nung sila po ay nasa wilderness, ay wala po silang fruit to rejoice over. Tama ba? Sabi ko kanina, they are, meron pong proseso ng fruit and leaves. But when they were in the wilderness, hindi po ito inutos sa kanila to do that during their wilderness wanderings. Rather, it was intended for after they had entered the promised land. Ibig sabihin, yung pong Feast of Tabernacles, they are to observe pagkapasok po nila sa land. Nakukuha niyo po yun? Alright. It was a festival designed to recall sa kanila pong isipan yung pong sense of longing for the promised land and thereby remind them that even in the best of times, this world was not their home. Again, yung pong Feast of Booths, they were instructed to observe that nung sila po ay nasa promised land na. And so God tells them to recollect or to remind themselves nung sila po ay longing for the promised land nung sila po ay nasa wilderness wanderings. And with that, in effect, God tells them that even though they are already in the promised land, they are still to observe that knowing that that best of life that they have in the promised land is not what they are hoping for. Hindi po yun yung kanilang home. Because even after they possessed yung pong earthly land of Canaan, they were not to settle down completely, but they were to look forward for a better and heavenly land which they could never possess in this life, but only in the life to come. So kung ito pong festival na ito ay merong pong aspect na ganung forward-looking, longing, even in the best times, how much more would that character have been needed or have needed to be felt during the worst of times? God's word of encouragement in the midst of their difficulties was that after only a little more waiting, ang sinabi po dyan, He would once again intervene decisively. God promised to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, and the dry lands. Ito pong language na ito of the earth shaking is typical sa mga theophanies. Let me drop that word. When we say theophany, ito po ay, ang ibig sabihin po nito ay appearances of God. Theos meaning God, phoneros, appearance. So, pero pong appearance of God, for example, is yung burning bush where God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. Tama ba? Yeah. Baka kasi hindi kayo mag-agree. Baka sabihin nyo si Abraham eh. It was Moses, right? So that's a theophany. So, yung pong shaking, tulad sinabi ko kanina, is a typical sa mga theophanies or sa mga appearances of God. And thus, when God appeared at Sinai, nung siya po ay nag-appear sa Mount Sinai, the mountain shook. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly." So ito pong image na ito became standard as part of the poetic description ng appearing ng Diyos bilang isang mighty warrior to deliver His people. But here, ito pong all-encompassing figure of speech na binanggit dyan, which is yung pong pairing ng heaven and earth, sea and dry land, ito pong figure of speech na ito envisions na ito pong theophany that's going to happen is an ultimate theophany na kung saan God would appear to transform the present world order into the final eschatological state. To bring us dun po dun sa last days. Ito pong, when I say last days, I know we are living in the last days, but we haven't had this. But meron pong ultimate final last days when God, when Christ would come. And yun po yung ini-envision dito. The present visible world order in which yung pong nations are triumphing, and the Lord's people were in subject to poverty and subjection and slavery is not the way the world will end. Meron pong new world order that is coming, which will arrive through the appearing of the Lord Himself. So He says He will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. And in verse 7, He also says, "And I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." Ito pong transformation of the world will not simply affect the natural world order. Because sabi po dyan, the Lord will also shake nations. Ito pong transformation na to should probably not be thought of in the positive terms na kung saan yung pong nations would turn to the Lord. Hindi po yun yung gustong ibig sabihin dito. Here, yung pong idea is simply that the world, or simply that this worldwide shaking, yung pong ill-gotten gains of the nations will be shaken loose and be brought to their rightful home, which is Jerusalem. Which adds physical glory to the restored temple. As the Lord claims, "Mine is the silver and the gold." And so yung end result po nito would be greater glory for the temple than that which it had earlier. Nor ito pong glory na to simply would be external and financial, just as yung pong absence ng glory was more than these. So also, the return of God's glory would be more than these. Ano pong sinabi niya doon sa last verse? "In this place, I will establish peace." Yung pong word na peace is yung pong word na shalom. Dito po sa lugar na to, alam po natin that it is salam. Ito pong shalom involves an all-encompassing state of harmony and fruitfulness. Hindi lang po ito absence ng war or conflict. It is nothing less than a total restoration of all relationships. Kasama po dito yung ating relationship with God, man's relationship with God, between man and his fellow man, between man and the created order. When the glory returns to the new temple and God once again dwells in the midst of His people, the result will be nothing short of full salvation. Having heard this, mga kapatid, how does your life look when measured against God's standards. For many of us, if we are honest, yung ating pong progress towards holiness is less than we expected and hoped for. Can our lives be transformed? Can our church become living and vibrant center of holy living? The word of the Lord through the prophet Haggai answers those two questions with a resounding yes, along with the pointers to God's profound program of complete transformation for us as individuals and for the church. Let me give four things. Una, this passage points us to a wonderful plan. The plan which is the perfect balance of dependence sa Panginoon and our activity. In answering yung question, how can our lives be changed? This culture offers us only half of the answer. Ano yung sabi ng mundo? Be strong and work hard and everything will turn out right in the end. Well, that's an important answer. But the Lord Himself also tells us to be strong and work. Yung pong transformation of a life or of a church is not simply a matter of sitting back and waiting for divine intervention. However, ito pong admonition or yung encouragement to work hard ay hindi rin po enough in and of itself. Hindi lang po tayo nakaupo at nag-aantay sa pagkilos ng Diyos, but at the same time, hindi tayo kumikilos ng depending on our own selves. When we find ourselves faced with an overwhelming mound of rubble, for most of us, the temptation to despair will prove strong. The call to work flows out of and is built upon the prior assurance ng work ng Diyos. God has promised not to abandon the good work that He has begun in each of us. Rather, He said that He will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. Yun po yung basis for us to tackle once again yung pong stubborn indwelling sins that defeated us so often. God Himself has committed to build His church in such a way that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therein lies yung pong ating confidence to tackle yung pong dami ng problema sa ating local church. This balance of work and confident dependence upon God is His plan for powerful, thoroughgoing change. Katulad po ng sinabi ni Paul sa Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work, but you also have to depend on God, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Second, ito pong passage na ito points us to a wonderful goal, and that is to be filled with God's glory. Ilan po sa mga discouragements na na-experience po ni Haggai, maging nung kanyang mga contemporaries, was good. They realized that it was not enough just to build yung pong temple. Without what the temple symbolized, which is yung pong presence ng Diyos, the whole effort would be meaningless. Similarly, God's wonderful goal for you and me is not simply to transform yung ating pong mga marriage, not simply to change our lives, or to change our church, great as they would be, but God wants our lives and our church to act as a display cabinet for His glory and His grace. As Paul puts it, God predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ so that we might be to the praise of His glorious grace. This truth cuts against the grain para po sa atin, hindi po ba? Because we want yung pong plano ng Diyos para sa ating buhay to result in at least a little glory for us. Gusto po natin na yung grace ng Diyos to be shown through us to others, yet we want ourselves not to be too evidently in need of that same grace. We have not learned with Paul to delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. But let us remember that it is precisely in our weaknesses that His glory is made most evident. Third, this passage points us to a wonderful Savior. What Haggai's contemporaries longed to see, yung kanila pong ninanais na makita as they were rebuilding yung temple, is that they would see the glory of God once again filling His house, transforming the present world order and flowing out from there peace. Ito pong fulfillment ng promise na ito awaited the coming of Jesus. The glory comes and peace flows from there. Yung fulfillment po nun happened when the awaited Messiah came. At the birth of Christ, the angels sang to the terrified shepherd of God's glory and of peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. So ito po mga shepherds na to, they went not to the temple, but to the manger and returned glorifying God. And then a few days later, the infant Jesus made His first trip sa temple. And when Simeon described Him, He was described as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Yung pong glory of God in Christ returned to the temple, and those whose eyes God had opened beheld that glory and glorified God. Ito pong incarnation and the perfect life and sacrificial death that followed it is the basis of the gospel of peace that is now preached not simply to Israel, but to the nations as well. Just as Haggai's contemporaries could look back to God's mighty work at the Exodus and conquest and draw hope for their present, so it is with us, mga kapatid. We can also look back to the coming of Christ as the foundation of our hope for the future. Yet even though the Old Testament manifestations of God were accompanied with glory such that no one could look dun po sa mukha ni Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai after receiving the law, nor could yung pong mga priest minister in the first temple when it was filled with the glory of God. Mga kapatid, how much greater is the glory of the new covenant? What is more, it is our beholding God's glory in the gospel that increasingly transforms us into the likeness of God as we come to reflect His glory more fully. Fourth and last, this passage points us to a wonderful hope. Just as the Feast of Tabernacles was a time to look forward as well as to look back, tayo rin po bilang mga Kristiyano are called to look in two directions, look back and look forward. We look back to the cross and God's mighty work in accomplishing yung ating pong salvation and establishing peace. In Christ, God has already shaken the entire world order. Yet also we look forward to the world shaking that is still to come, when God will bring all of history into its consummation in Christ. God has already established His kingdom, manifested His glory, and given us peace. But there is a day coming when God's kingdom will be fully and finally established, when His glory will fill the world and His peace will reign forevermore. And this, too, is also an antidote to our temptation to despair. Yung pong rubble that surrounds us sa ating pong mga buhay and even in our church is not the end of the story. There is more to come. A cosmically happy ending in which all of Christ's people will be transformed by Him into His likeness. So brothers and sisters, let us remember. Let us take courage and do not fear, for God is faithful in keeping His promises for His glory. Let's pray. Grant, Almighty Father, that we heed Your message in our hearts and that we bring it to our remembrance in our moments of despair. Will You, O God, have mercy on us and cause us to bring glory to Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.